call on Brother Charles Chambers to open with prayer. Our gracious, loving Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. In reverence together, we gather in thy presence in the name of our dear Savior, Redeemer, and Elder Brother. We thank you for this additional joy and fellowship along the way as we have come unto Mount Zion. We long to complete the trip. We ask that you will bless this convention, all that will participate at whatever level, dear Father, that we may go away feeling it has been good, like Peter felt in the presence of our dear Lord upon the Mount. We remember the brotherhood throughout the world, various conditions and places, mindful of their needs, mindful of the world's needs. Bless this ecclesia and their efforts to provide for our spiritual well-being and, dear Father, the food that will be served. We thank you for this honor and privilege as we would ask upon this congregation and this gathering together thy holy blessing. Forgive us, we pray, and accept our prayers and our plea to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Charlie. And now you'll be officially welcomed by Brother Richard Stewart. Brother Dick, please.
Good afternoon. It's certainly a privilege to represent the North Seattle Bible Students Ecclesia in welcoming you in their behalf, each one, to a season, we trust, of fellowship, of spiritual blessing, and hopefully much growth in the Lord. When we remember our Master's assurance in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It becomes then also an honor to welcome you in the name of our Lord, because we are certain that two or three at least are gathered in his name. And so we have the assurance of his promise to be here to bless. Now, any time one is welcomed, it implies that they are in a strange or an unfamiliar place, a less than normal situation. We trust that that's not the case, that you indeed feel comfortable, and we want you to feel comfortable, and we want to provide whatever we can to make you comfortable. And so we would like to think that your visit with us this weekend is more like coming home. Psalm 133, we would hope, expresses this. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Now, following such words of welcome, it may seem strange for us to ask the rhetorical question, why have you come? But I think it's one that we should ask ourselves, because in asking it and answering it to ourselves, I think that we will be able to get more out of our gathering together. In a recent study that we made in regard to the subject of victory, we came across a point that the pastor made. I don't have a citation for you. It was from a reprint article. And he asked the question, for whom do we fight? And he proposes the answer for the Lord, and then he says, no. We fight for ourselves. And in fact, the Lord is fighting for you too. Without his strength, we wouldn't be an overcomer. Now, this doesn't diminish the fact that we want to be fighting on the side of the Lord. We certainly want to uphold the truth and uphold the Lord's cause and character in every way. But the point that Brother Russell was making in this article is that we're fighting against the world, the flesh, and the adversary to secure our crown. And so this, it seems to me, is a vital part of our answer to the question, why have we come? And also along this line, last evening in our second volume study, Brother Russell, in discussing 2 Thessalonians 2:10 and receiving the love of the truth, he suggests that those who fail to complete their covenant fail to receive the meat in due season properly. And so this too suggests why we're here. We're here to consider the word of the Lord, and particularly that we treasure as meat in due season, that we might grow, that we might indeed come up to that measure of the stature of Christ on this side of the veil as to the most we can. But we're not here just for the social aspects, although we will enjoy you in our homes and in our fellowship. We're not here just for an intellectual experience or exercise, although we trust that our minds will be stretched by the admonitions and the instruction that we receive from the platform. But it's of vital interest to our making our calling election sure, not only, of course, at this convention, but in our daily walk, and every avenue of our experiences should be to this one purpose, to make our calling election sure. Now, it's certainly our desire in providing this convention and sponsoring it as an ecclesia that it will lead to this sort of result. It is why we hopefully have been careful in selecting the speakers that will address you. And we will charge each speaker publicly here and now that they bear this responsibility in mind as they present their lessons from the platform. We desire to provide any other comforts and needs. If you have any special requirements or any needs, whatever they might be, feel free to approach anyone in our ecclesia, and we'll get it directed to someone who we trust will be able to help. Also along this line, we have provided some youth meetings, and the brethren of the local ecclesia are going to be conducting all of these meetings so that you as our visitors will be able to spend your time in the meetings for your spiritual welfare. So we trust that you do feel welcome. We mentioned that the text throughout the program suggests that we have everything going for us in terms of the Lord's blessing and help. On the Friday, today's text at the bottom of the program, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. On Saturday, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. And finally on Sunday, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So brethren, during this 3 days, and we trust continuing on from them, take advantage of these resources and use them to the fulfillment of your covenant, that you might hear that, well done, good and faithful servant. And Lord, bless you during this convention. Right on.
Thank you, Brother Richard, for those words of welcome. We do want to mention a change on the program this evening at 7 o'clock. We have Brother Edward Lorenz scheduled. Brother Edward Bushless of Chicago will take his place. We also want to mention that there are private rooms. If you'll contact myself or any of the elders of the ecclesia, if you have need of rest, desire to lie down or whatever, we have these rooms available. For our first discourse, we have Brother Jerry Andrus. Needs no introduction. Brother Jerry Andrus of Salem, Oregon. He has selected as an opening hymn number 32. We'd like to have the brothers come forward then, Brother Jerry and Brother John. He said, bring a hymn book with you, John. I think there's one. No, there isn't. Sorry. Hymn 32. Let's sing all the verses. We'll rise as we sing the last verse and ask Brother John to open with prayer.
Beloved Heavenly Father, with thankful hearts we approach thy throne of grace. We're thankful, Father, for the many blessings thou hast given us for the past week that we have shared in conventioning, fellowshipping, meetings, and that those words that have been spoken, an inspiration to our hearts that we can have a better condition of love toward our Heavenly Father, toward each and every one of us. Now I ask a blessing, Father, upon this fellowship we have at this time, and also ask the blessing, Father, upon Brother Andrus, as he will be expound those words of love to us, that we'll be able to have a better understanding of thy word in our hearts, that we can walk circumspectly as new creatures seeking thy ways and thy means. We realize, Father, that we come short, and through thee we have necessary strength and courage to carry on. We ask these many blessings and privileges that have been ours through Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen.
I'm sure we've all looked forward to Brother Jerry Andrus's service, and as usual, he has a very inviting title, shall we say, the Well of Jehovah. The Well of Jehovah. Brother Jerry, Lord bless you in your service.
Thank you, Brother Don. It's good to be with you, brethren. The prospect we sang about. You know, the prospect, without prospect in our life, it would be kind of barren. In some respects, other prospects we would like to hide from. And the one that comes to mind is maybe our own execution. Now, that prospect can be pretty weighty. But to the Christian, it is a prospect of anticipation, isn't it? It's an anticipation to get up on the mountain, as Brother Levi would tell us, and recently he just told us that here about a week ago. He took us all up on a mountain, and then the next day he said, that wasn't high enough. He says, I want to take you up into the thrones, and that's higher than the mountains. In some respect, Brother Dick, that welcomes us to that. The Well of Jehovah. Well, surely, that connotes a process and a need of the process and the way to get to the throne. We're going to use for a text for consideration this afternoon, Numbers 21 and 16. In part, it reads, the Lord spoke unto Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Now, that's a wonderful invitation. Our Heavenly Father intends to give us all a drink from the never-failing spring that bubbles up from the base of Pisgah. And all this is to gain a higher significance and a deeper sense when it is considered that all who drink of this brook, by the way, are destined to be kings and priests. Now, there is much Bible for this. The Lord must have intended us for us to be increasingly reminded of our destiny. So the heavenly King calls, gather my people together. Psalms 110:7, ye shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Lift up the head. When you lift up the head, what do you see? Well, you see the blue sky of heaven, surely. And I submit that you, with the Christian's mind eye, can even at times see the face of Jesus. Yes, we must drink and lift up our head. Or to put it another way, we drink so we can lift up our head. We can lift up our heads to the spiritual things, to the higher things. And surely, as Brother Levi, if he were here, would want us all to get up into that mountain, it is only in our minds that we really find that place of habitation, because we know that our feet surely are in the howling wilderness. Yes, they will drink and lift up their head. Now, you cannot buy this. In fact, you can't even earn it. And you can't even learn it by sheer brain power. But we all can receive it as a gift. The gift of our Father. 1 Corinthians 10:4, all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them. To think that the water riven from the rock follows us. Wherever we go, we have the water and it follows us. The weary traveler thirsting for a drink, a refreshing drink, was not unknown to our Lord and Savior, John 4:6. We use the modern English. Jacob's spring was there. Jesus, tired from the journey, sat down beside it. And I like this. Just as he was. Just as he was. Jesus, weary in his work, but not weary of it. Now, sometimes we get weary in the work. And this is why the Lord tells us to draw aside for a while. Draw aside to his well, that he can give us this drink. Now, because of the toil nature of the way we drink, that the head might be lifted in joyful exaltation. The Lord knows always how to show a brook along the way. Isaiah 43:19-20 in part, I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people. And notice how the verse closes. My chosen. My chosen. Now this isn't just any ordinary drink that he gives us. It is special waters. It is waters that will strengthen the Christian. It is waters that will strengthen the Christian for his journey in the wilderness. And the wrestlers of faith are here then to find their pineal, the face of God. And where God's face is found, the heavens stand open and our stores are increased because of the well of Jehovah. Gather my people together is the instruction of the lawgiver. And with the poet, where they seek him, he is found, and every place is hallowed ground. Now the thought is, you are the hallowed ground. Where he is found, you are the sacred place, not vice versa. Remember Naaman? He begged of the holy man of God, the earth of Israel. Not because the earth had a special powers, but because Israel was the land in which the true God had revealed himself to Naaman. 2 Kings 5:17. The power of God had worked in the man, not the soil of Israel. The Lord will do his work in our hearts and in our minds, not because of this place, but because of the heart that you bring him this day. And with such a heart, he can open up the well of his name, and the water drawn from that can have meaning and significance, as well as strength and encouragement. Now, we will have a mighty load to take home with us if we drink properly of this well, that we may have a sacred place to bend our knees in praise and gratitude in the hours and days ahead. In this time we live in, there is so much that would consume us and take us away from the well of Jehovah. And one of the purposes then, we can well imagine that he intends to give us of this water, is that we may find something here at this place because of the sacred ground of your heart, which he will refresh and that will bring comfort and joy, surely, while we meet together in sweet fellowship. But never underestimate the need of that water in the days and hours ahead when we return to the routine things of daily living. And in the words of Genesis 43 and 23, our Father has given us treasures in our sacks that we might have the wherewithal to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice to our Lord. And now let us read together 2 Kings 5:17. Naaman said, and maybe we can put our name here in place of Naaman. Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant 2 mules, burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Now, Naaman, at this holy place in Israel, found earth that he could carry home with him, which would help him to remember how to offer sacrifice of burnt offerings unto the Lord. And we submit this is one of the purposes of why we drink and are given of the water of this well of Jehovah. Yes, we need to prepare our hearts and minds to take a load home with us, that we might use it as a place to bend our knee in gratitude, to find the strength and grace which sustains day unto day. Now, Jacob's well is no longer used, but the living spring of water which the Savior first opened there is deep and fresh as ever, and will quench the thirst, quench the thirsty one to the ends of time. Numbers 21:16. The Lord spake to Moses, gather the people together, and I will give them water. Now Israel had been traveling over the howling wilderness, no water in sight, and they were thirsty. They were a mighty thirsty. And then God speaks, I will give them water. Can you believe it? Sure you do. Sure you do. That's why you're here. You know of that water, and you want of that water, and you need of that water. Israel gathered in circles on the desert sand, and they started singing. Imagine their anticipation. Now, they hadn't seen anything. The sand was still there, same desert sand that they had been traversing. But the Lord says, I will give you a drink. And they believed it. And they start singing. Numbers 21:17 and 18. Then Israel sang this song, spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. The princes dig the well, the nobles of the people dig it by the direction of the lawgiver with their staves. And from the wilderness they went to Matana. Now they took their staves and they dug deep down into the burning earth. And they dug and they sang, rejoicing. What do you think they sang? Well, I like to think in terms of Revelation 15:3. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God. Now they didn't sing the song because of Moses. But they sang that song because the Moses was the servant of God. That's what Revelation 3 tells us. They sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. I wonder why the Revelator closes that verse with that thought. thou King of the saints. Well, I think we need to look at it very personally, because you are a saint. And that picture of them as examples and types as they traversed the burning sand and the blazing and howling wilderness was but a picture of some of the experiences maybe that you have been going through. Just a few minutes before we got up here, we sat down and talked with a sister, and we heard of some of the burning sand experiences that she is going through. Yes, we need to remember, even while the sand burns under our feet, our minds can be on top of Pisgah, and we can sing in anticipation, even though we don't see the water at the time we first stick our stave into the earth. They sung also, it's Numbers 21 and 18 or 17 tells us, "Spring up, O well, sing ye unto it. Spring up, O well." And we think of the truth and how that rejoices our heart. And each time we go to open the well of Jehovah from its covers, don't we, with prospect and anticipation, have this in mind? Because we know that it is the water of Jehovah within its covers. And we must drink, and we will drink, and we will sing while we drink of the harvest message. And lo, there came a sound, a rush of water, and then a glowing stream which filled the well and ran among the people. Not just in the well, in the container over here to look at, but that water bubbles up and it runs around and among the people, refreshing, surely. So not only can we drink of that water, but brethren, we can swim in it. We can be consumed by it. And we don't have to worry about drowning, because the water that runs in and through and around us is just the right depth. Just our needs, if we are using our staves properly, drawing of the earth and uncovering the well of Jehovah. How beautiful a picture given. It tells us of the rivulets of blessing that flows all through our lives, and we only have to reach down with our staves to let the water flow. John 7:37. "If any man thirst, let them come to me and drink, and out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And we know that that primarily will find its fulfillment in the kingdom promise. And if faithfully, we indeed will be the true rivulets of water, which will be for the washing and strengthening of the world of mankind. But now, dear brethren, I submit that each of us, as we use this water, can also be a stream of help and comfort one to another. This is a wonderful well. We know this because the Lord's people sing over it. Drink and sing. You know, beloved, Jesus will not welcome us any more with any more stronger affections in heaven than that which he welcomes us now here on earth in his presence. Yes, he will love us no more in heaven than he loves us today if we are drinking of the well of Jehovah. Because only those who he loves now, who have given themselves completely, really have the privilege of drinking of this well. And in Mark 10:21, we read a beautiful thought. And we too can personalize this in respects to each one of us. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Just a very few words, 5 words in all. Jesus, beholding you, loves you. Overwhelming? Sure it is. Every time we think of it. But it's true, and we must believe it. It is our sweet privilege to place all our needs over against his riches and his exhaustless treasury is thrown open to us in the love of his heart. And then we may drink and sing. Now we need to bring our little vessel then to Jesus, hold it steady before him. It is here that heaven's blessings can convert a few barley loaves, if you please, and yes, a few fishes, into a spiritual feast, satisfy in solving all of our spiritual needs. And under his word, the withered hand will move. Maybe we haven't been quite as active as our mind would have us be in the work for Jesus. It may be right here at the well of Jehovah that withered hand will move a little firmer, a little more sure, and with a little more quality for the name of Jesus. And the lame foot will extend. And by that extension, service indeed in the name of Jesus will be accomplished. Great things, yes, in little things we can be great. Oh, Jesus can only be great in the great things. But because of his blessing and because of the well that we are privileged to drink out of, we can be great in little things. The little things in our own salvation and the little things in the salvation of our brethren. And thus our salvation becomes a great salvation in and through the strength and name of our Lord and Master Jesus. And even the faint and bewildered heart can find encouragement and comfort and strength to go on another day. It'd be very difficult for the children of Israel. Here they're in that desert place, and they have the water now, and it's been so refreshing and comforting to leave that. But leave we must, because we have a journey to do. So once we leave the well of Jehovah here, we can have faith and confidence there will be other wells. But leave we will, because Jesus beckons us on. Now the Bible in the volume, so little in bulk, like the 5 loaves and the 5 fishes. But they feed so well, and yes, they feed so much. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your needs. My God shall supply your needs. My God shall supply all your needs. There is a difference. Sometimes we don't realize it, though. We read sometimes hurriedly and we miss that little word, the 3-letter words, the 2-letter words, the 1-letter word. I will do it. I want to do it. And the strength. Those little words are important. Yes, in the little things we can do great things. We don't have to worry about the great things, because our Savior and Master says he will take care of the great things, and we know he will take care of them well. But the little things, we can do great work because of the water we get from the well of our Father's name. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And that's a lot of riches. And that is a lot of glory that we share because of Christ Jesus. What a source? What a source? Well, God. My God shall supply. There's our source. What a supply? His riches and glory. What a channel. What a name. Christ Jesus. Yes, these words aren't meaningless, but they can become meaningless. Oh, we can read them for 10 years. We can read them for 20 years. We can read them for 30 years. And if they become commonplace, I submit, my brethren, they are becoming meaningless. The Lord spake to Moses, gather the people together. And the word together carries a thought of unity of God, the unity of his Spirit. Not the spirit of unity. The unity of the Spirit. The Spirit of unity. They sound like synonyms, but they're not. The unity of his Spirit. It is one well. It is the well of Jehovah. There is one Spirit. There is one baptism. So what unity we have can only be that which Jehovah is pleased to give us drink of, even from his well. From his well, the Bible. And the explanation of that Bible in the harvest message, primarily in the volumes. Joined together in the unity of God in a high and lofty convocation. Now that's a meeting place such as this, a convocation. But that is just one aspect of this convocation. The convocation of Christ Jesus is a convocation of sacrifice. It is a convention of sacrifice. It is a gathering of those who are willing to be sacrificed. And that is the convocation of the unity of his Spirit. To be one as they are one, to weigh with reverent minds and sweet counsel the exceeding great and precious promises. Now notice that all these things that we read, they're not my words. You recognize them because they come from his well, the well of Jehovah. And they are restrictive. Sometimes we forget the restrictedness of the truth. The truth, you say, is designed to gather his people. And that is true. The truth is also designed to separate his people from everything else. I see now. It's supposed to separate them from the flesh. That's very personal. The truth has this dimension. It has this power to separate us, the new creature, if you please, that which drinks of the well of Jehovah in sincerity and truth, to separate the flesh and its ideals and goals and its purposes, that the divine purposes and goals, the sixth-sensed Christian, it is designed to separate us from the world. And all of its influence. So, by implication, that means that if somebody comes into our midst carrying the spirit of the world, that it must be separated out. Not the individual, but that which one would carry into our midst. You know, the greatest strength and the greatest thing that can keep us close to the well of Jehovah is purity. That is the greatest binding strength that the church has this side of the veil. Without purity, things are reduced, weakened, because other influences. Now, when this grand plan of the ages is all accomplished, all of this other will be separated out, and what we'll have left is the kernel of righteousness and truth. Everything else will be separated out. So that's why we must recognize there are troubles amongst us, and there will be troubles amongst us. Not by our design. Jesus said himself, I have not come to bring peace. Elsewhere he says, that which I bring to you could separate you from your mother, daughter, and daughter from mother, father from son. Now, that isn't because of meanness or because of lack of love on Jesus' part, but it showed a total commitment for the work and purposes of God working upon his mind and in his acts here on earth. And such a commitment must of need and necessity be upon our heart and mind. I'm not preaching separation. We're talking about the spirit of unity in contrast to the unity of the spirit. So, the truth is to affect a more lasting appreciation and let us know how difficult this narrow way will be. Sometimes all cannot see it at the same time. In perspective, that's because we are different places along this path of the narrow way. But so great is our confidence that the well of Jehovah can and direct us as a lamp unto our feet. Confident in our sincerity and integrity of heart, that Jehovah, through the profession of faith and consecration, he will accept us fully as heirs of Christ. So let our thoughts of God then from this well and Jesus Christ, the worthy saints of the past and of the present. Yes, we have worthy saints today. And maybe you can remember some of them. I can. And I can remember some that haven't been so long ago with us. Yes, remember their lives and their examples. Be admonished. Here again, it's the little things that we can be great in. The remembrance of a faithful brother or sister. And try to emulate that. Not because of the brother and sister, but because we recognize therein that worthy well water of the Lord's giving. And I think of a worthy brother, don't we, sister Lydia? Yes, they can be such a help. We talk about Ebenezers, and I know of a recently was mentioned about an Ebenezer. We think of a rock, and it reminds us of an Ebenezer. And some of those Ebenezers should be amongst us, not as rocks, but as living epistles, Brother Charlie. Yes, you have known them. The little things, we can do great things with them. If the Lord gives, and we know that the Lord is giving, let us use that giving in our lives so the light might shine out the better and the stronger. So let the thoughts of all of our heavenly inheritance, the magnitude and benevolence of the divine plan, the glory and blessedness of our gathering together with Christ, oh yes, and the need of the harvest message, fill our minds and hearts as we drink of the water of the Lord's giving. Returning to Numbers 21:18, the princesses dig the well, and the nobles of the people dig it. More properly, hollow it out by the direction of the lawgiver. I submit that you can take most scripture verses, and not only will they tell you of the promises and the ways and how to do things, but they're all prescribed, circumscribed. And this one here, it's by the direction of the lawgiver. Nothing more or nothing less than what he circumscribes. Now, maybe in closing we can draw a lesson here about the princes. We believe that in the hours to follow here, we're going to have some well digging by the princes. And you know their names. Prince Charlie and Prince Walter and Prince Edward and Prince Wilford and Prince... Should get the program out. Yes, we're going to have some well digging. But notice the scripture says that after that digging, the people hollow it out. That's when you get the water, when you hollow it out. Now, if we could take that with an A and an O, hallow and hollow. We work to be holy. So, my brethren, may the Lord bless you at his own well, given by him, and when he uses his name as a place of identification, we should expect wonders and great things. So may this be what we will realize as we assemble together and find the strength and encouragement for every day until we can see him face to face.
Thank you, Brother Jerry, for those thoughts on the well of Jehovah. A well certainly suggests refreshment. And if we have this refreshment in abundance this side of the veil, how much more so the other side of the veil when we see the Lord face to face. And so what an appropriate hymn we have to close with. Appendix P, P as in Paul, face to face. Shall we sing as usual all four verses and rise as we sing the fourth verse? Brother Jerry will close in prayer.
Yeah.
most gracious Father in heaven, in the precious name of our Savior, we come to Thee. We thank Thee, dear Father, for such a well of Thy name. And may we find of its sweet waters, dear Father, and may it work the work that Thou would purpose in our lives. And to now we would pray that blessing would be such as to lift us closer to Thee at this time. Forgive where we have said amiss, and continue with us in Thy blessing from Thy will, because we rest ourselves and ask in our precious Savior's name. Amen.
Thank you again, Jerry. Good beginning.
I needed it.